This morning, I wasn't asked to do a particular subject. I was asked to preach and not given anything. So when considering what I should bring this morning, a number of different ideas came into my mind, and I decided, I'm afraid, to be very selfish. I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to consider a verse, which we've heard now, which I feel I personally would find an encouragement and a challenge. And my hope and prayer is that as I do this, it will actually be something that will be helpful to you. I think we often feel that perhaps whatever situation we're facing, we think we're the only ones in it. And sometimes nobody really understands the same questions and dilemmas that we're facing. But actually, there can be comfort in knowing that other people have been there, have had the same questions and challenges and thoughts. So I hope that this morning it will be something that will be of an encouragement and a challenge to all of you as I read this myself and challenged myself with it. The verse, obviously, we're looking at there is from the book of John, and the particular verse was that I'd like to look at is Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I'd particularly like to focus on "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This verse is most commonly used to help people understand who the man of Jesus is and the relationship he has to our Heavenly Father. It most commonly might be considered in the context of how perhaps we should live our lives and how that outliving of our faith will directly impact on our acceptance into glory. That's perhaps how that verse will most commonly have been interpreted. However, I would like us to focus this morning on a slightly less obvious perspective. Before we look at this, I'd like us just to think or you to understand where I'm coming from and why I'm suggesting we're looking at it slightly different. It's found in verse 1 of that chapter 14. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, in that verse, that simple statement, we are called to bring into play faith. It's very simple, faith. For the believer, this statement should really go hand in hand together like breathing. If I were to ask you to have faith that as you take your next breath, the air will be there, I very much doubt that many of you will think the air is not going to be there. It should be that natural. For the Christian, we are directed to take this statement of, and remember it is in the affirmative, you believe in God, you do believe in God, then believe also in me, as a call to put into place our faith that Jesus was who he said he was, which is the Son of God. Jesus expects us to have that faith without question. He is the Son of God, sent to this world to become man, to live as you and I, and to ultimately provide the only way to salvation. So this morning I would like to bring to you a message that I hope may challenge us as we consider our walk and commitment to Jesus, to put to test our faith in the day-to-day challenges that we face, that as we walk in this world's journeys of ups and downs, questions, confusions, we do not forget that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the one that we should go to in the first instance for guidance, support, clarity, which in turn brings amazing peace and amazing calm in this world where chaos seems to rule. So I'd like to do it using three unorthodox headings. They're queen titles. The first one will be Who Wants to Live Forever? I was going to have it played, but I'm not. The second, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And the third is The Miracle. I don't know if you know them songs, but they're really good. I'm not a big Queen fan, but they are good songs. So, who wants to live forever? So as we consider this verse in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, perhaps this thought pops into your mind, so what? My life absolutely sucks. Might do. Michael Wilde, who unfortunately isn't here this morning, may just have an absolutely fantastic way of describing how you feel. They're not here this morning, but we have three TFJs with us at the farm at Caring for Life, and we call them TFJs, Time for Jesus Volunteers. After a few weeks and months, you may notice a change in how they look, and Michael came up with this different description using the same initials as tired, fed up, and jerked around. Do you know, this morning, do you feel tired? Do you feel fed up? Do you feel jerked around? Are you tired of life and its trials? Are you fed up of things always seeming to go wrong? And do you just feel jerked around by things and the challenges and the things you face every day with no seeming end or light? Is that how you sometimes feel? Who wants to live forever when that's what you face every day? My friends, this morning, let me remind you of something that is so easy to forget. It's on page 1177 of your church Bibles, Ephesians 6, verse 12. It reminds us of the trials in this life, and more importantly, their origin. It says this: "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." It is easy to forget that. It really is easy to forget that. There's a film with Mel Brooks. I don't know if many of you find him funny. I do. I may have a very bad sense of humour, but I find him quite funny. And there's a film that he was in called Life Sucks. I don't know who's seen that film, Life Sucks. And Mel loses all of his wealth, and he's seen in the film just walking around, "Life sucks. Life sucks." It's actually a comedy film, don't say, but it is actually really funny. Well, it's easy as we rush around the day-to-day aspects of our life to forget we are not just made. We are not just dealing with the practical and emotional aspects of our life, thinking it just sucks. No. Remember what it says in Genesis 1, as human beings made in the image of God, we are made as spiritual beings. We're not just vegetables sat in a field out to rot. We can feel, we can touch, we can smell, we can have emotion. But we have a spiritual dynamic to our existence. As such, we endure not just physical and emotional challenges, but we are involved in a spiritual battle that requires daily reinforcement. With spiritual reinforcement and refreshment, it is crucial that we view this as a priority within our lives on a daily routine. Quite easily this morning, the morning devotions and prayer times that we should be having are the first thing to disappear when life gets busy. And there's a very simple reason for this. Now, remind us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is not just physical or emotional. We are fighting against demons, forces whose sole purpose is to tear every thread of hope from you in our Heavenly Father. Are you being tempted, pushed, pulled and challenged, not just because of life trials, but because of the dark forces of which God had never intended? And with an enemy so determined, we should be equally as determined to let our lives be filled with all that Christ offers himself. We should be determined to live a daily life like what we read in Philippians 1, chapter 9. And it says this: "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Is your head busy with doubts? Is your head busy with work? Is it busy with worry? Is it busy with responsibility? Is it busy with debt? Is it busy with anxiety? Is it busy with today? Is it busy with tomorrow? Is there no headspace for God? Is there no headspace for Jesus? Is there no headspace for service and ministry? Have you ever seen the film The Perfect Storm? The one with George Clooney? And there's the fishermen out at sea, and they're on a boat, and they've had not a great time, and they're about to have a worse time. There's three big, huge storms that head in their direction, and they don't know. And they're going to be right in the middle of it. Well, as it gets close, suddenly the waves start to get bigger and bigger, and the boat starts to strain up and down the waves. And you can see the faces on the crewmen starting to think, you know, this is turning quite bad, this. And there's one scene near the end of the film when there's a huge wave, and they're there looking, and they look out, and they just see this huge wall of water, and the boat creaks as it starts to climb, and the engine's screwing away, and it's going away, and you don't know if they're going to make it. Is that what you feel like right now? Do you feel like you're on a ship, just riding them waves, and you don't know if you're going to make it? Seriously. Who wants to live forever? That brings me to my next point of crazy little thing called love. So I guess we're feeling really happy now. We've put that lovely picture on life. Let me answer the question, who wants to live forever? Well, I do. You should. Let me tell you why. Have you ever stopped, taken a step back, considered who we are and what we are a part of? Let me just read you one line from Job chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "In his hands is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." You are not here by coincidence. You are part of a design. You and your life is something, part of something so amazingly special, it's incredible. As a young boy, I recall in our Sunday services learning the catechism. We used to have it up on the screen. I think we stuck some music to it, and it went like this. Who made you? God made me. What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make all things? For his own glory. That was what I learned as a young boy in school. I remember that very clearly. And I think we learnt about 40 lines. I can only remember the first three, but it went on and on. But those three stood out in my mind. God made you. He made all things, and why? Just because he could. Wow. Remember this God who, just because he could, spend eternity planning this universe, and he did it good. And when God says he does something good, it means there ain't nothing like it before, and there ain't going to be anything like it in the future. It is perfect. It is the best. There is nothing you could add to it or take away from it to make it better. That's what it means. His intention was perfect. His ways are unbelievable. His imagination, unimaginable. His plans are without end. Let's put something into context. You are part of a 150 billion light year universe, which is ever expanding. Oh, there's another 100,000 miles. Oh, there's another 1,000 just created over. Oh, there's another 1,000 just created there. That's what we are part of. Our galaxy is approximately 110 light years in diameter. That's our galaxy. Our Earth circumference is 40,000 miles. You, or are the people in the church, are between 1 foot and 7 foot tall. I don't know, maybe we're taller. But between 1 and 8 foot tall. Think of that in context of a 150 billion light year diameter. It's not very big, really, is it? Yet in God's creation, just how big are you? In God's creation, how significant are you and me? Well, let me tell you, you're the centre of it. You are the centre of it. For you to enjoy was this planet made. For you to explore was the universe formed. Wow. Wow. However, the thing that really lets us know that God views us different to any other living thing is this. When we spoil things because of our selfishness and brought sin into this world, he became man. He took on our fragility. He did it because he loved what he had made. He shook the foundations of heaven and earth, quite literally, for you to be given a chance. This amazing God that showed the ultimate example of grace and mercy entered our world as man to provide a way back to him. To provide a way to enjoy a world and a universe as he had first intended creation to be, perfect. when we consider this, I'd like you to bear in mind, when we consider what we've looked at before, I'd like you to bear in mind a verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I love the film Patch Adams. I don't know who's seen the film Patch Adams, but I really like it. And Patch Adams is a guy who's played by Robin Williams. And Robin Williams, later in his life, decides to become a doctor. After spending some time in a psychiatric hospital there, he discovered he could really connect with people and help them both on a personal level and also on a medical level. Well, when he was in the psychiatric hospital, when he was there as a patient, he meets a famous doctor who actually was also a patient and had really lost his mind somewhat. And this doctor, this very clever doctor who was walking around, kept walking around going, you know, he would ask people a question, how many fingers, how many fingers? And they'd say, four, you idiot, it's not four. He'd walk off, strange. Anyway, Patch Adams decides he wants to befriend this guy and get to grips with what he's talking about. And he does, and there's this scene when he walks into his room and he gets a piece of tape on a cup because it was leaking, and the doctor kind of recognises there's somebody here who's got something about him. And Robin Williams says to the doctor, he says, keep walking around, four, what's the answer? And he says, hold your hands up. So he holds his hands up and says, how many fingers? He says, four. No, you're looking at the problem. Look beyond the problem. And there's this scene when suddenly he looks at his hands and the camera must do some clever thing, and suddenly he saw eight. If you try it sometime, it works because your eyes work. I don't know why, but it does. You look at your fingers, look beyond, look at something beyond. Eight, different answer. He said, eight. That's a good answer. Yes, eight, good answer. The point the doctor makes is actually quite amazing. Don't look at the problem, look at the solution. Are you looking at the world and all the problems we're encountering as the end result? If so, you're focusing on the problem. Look at the solution. Consider who you are. Man and woman created by God for God's glory. Special because you are made as spiritual beings. This is amazing, this. God himself knows you and he knew you since before the first morning this earth had. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? Look at what it says in Luke 12, verse 7. It says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He knows you, and even the numbers on your head. The God who breathed life into the universe gave you breath. He gives you hope, and he gives you all this world offers to subdue and enjoy, explore and engage with, be it nature or fellow human beings, but to be done so that you may give him the glory. God gave you life in this magnificent universe and he loves you. And this brings me to my final point, and to the point of the verse that was read to us in John, and the final point, which is the Queen's song, The Miracle. We've considered that life may suck. We've also seen that actually this fallen world, even through it, we can see there is something better and that it had a design. We could leave it there, but my intention this morning is to focus on one particular word in the sentence, I am the way, the truth and the life. I. This simple, single letter word is referring to Jesus. Ask yourself a question. What hope does someone who doesn't know Jesus have? What peace and future can anyone who does not believe they were part of a design have? What no scientist determined to separate faith, belief and the idea of design by the hand of a creator will ever be able to answer is how can I be given peace? Or answers to the hardships I face and a hope of something beyond the chaos we have considered this morning. Are we here by chance? Are we led to believe that two tiny little atoms, smaller than the eye can see, came together and created our 150 billion light year universe with incalculable detail and proportion to work in partnership with real life, with life, to exist? Is that what we believe? Just by chance? What hope, who can't see the design and purpose in life be given by people who don't see it's done by a creator? None. But for the believer, okay. For the believer of a God who, as we read earlier, knows every hair on our head. For the believer who can see the design in life, who can see the beauty and the design of the physical, but also the spiritual, as we are able to have a relationship with the God who created us. Wow. We have hope. But that hope came at a cost, didn't it? God shook the foundations of the heavens and the earth. Because in order to bring order back to this universe where our sin had marred, God had two options. Firstly, to do the opposite of what God had ever intended, which would be to destroy all that he had made and remake it. Or to provide another way for the perfect design he had intended to be restored somehow. Well, he chose the latter and he sent Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And there is the encouragement and thing to remember this week and this month and this year and your lifetime. Do not rely on the things you see in the world to give you peace and comfort. You won't find it. Look at the one who is there and here with you always. That needs no searching for. He is here, he is waiting, he is longing for you, all of us, to accept him, to take comfort in what he did for us and to take comfort in what he has promised. Those who know me and my desk space know that there's quite a lot of paper on it and it's not in a very good, clean, tidy order. And there are many important documents on my desk. Now, I know that they're somewhere. And if I need them, I usually have to move one piece of paper to another place on my desk, which makes that messy, and so on. Now, there is one piece of paper that is very important that I need every single day, and it's my to-do list. Now, the problem there is that I need my to-do list. And on my to-do list is clean desk, but I can't find my to-do list, so I don't ever get to clean my desk and know what I'm doing. But the point is this, and I guess it would make sense if I put my to-do list in somewhere where I knew where it was every day, knew it was accessible, and I could follow it. Here's the point. My to-do list is there to make sure I do complete all those things. But in the same way, is Jesus in your life a priority there, ready? Is he there? Or does your day-to-day just get so messy and busy that we forget we're supposed to walk and talk and lean and learn from Jesus himself? I urge you, friends, again, place Jesus at the top of your life, in all aspects of your life. Make Jesus your first port of call in all of your anxieties. Make Jesus the one in whom you confide in first. Take solace in his wonderful arms. Why? Well, here's the miracle. Because God... who created all we have heard about in its vastness to its most tiniest, became man in Jesus. His love knew no limits, and this God became man, died on a cross to bear our sins. For you, over there, for you there, for you there, for you there, for us. And by this he was saying, hey guys, you wrecked my world, but I love you. Here is a gift. It's a gift of opportunity. It's a gift of hope. It is a gift of salvation. Love my son. Follow him. Listen to him and trust him. And you will gain your inheritance. I will give you peace. I will give you hope. I will give you heaven. In conclusion, there's a song I'd like to read that pulls together what I've been trying to say this morning. And it's not a Queen song, so don't worry, we're not going to read that one. Fat Bottom Girls wouldn't really do it this morning, I don't think. But it's a song that goes like this. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live on this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. Follow him, yield your life to him.
He has conquered death. He is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak to him, to pray to him, confess my sin, to open my life and let him in, for joy will then be mine. I want to learn to speak of him. My life must show that he lives in me. My deeds, my thoughts, my words must speak all of his love for me. I want to learn to read his word, for this is how I know the way, to live my life as pleases him in holiness and joy. O Holy Spirit of the Lord, enter now into this heart of mine. Take full control of my selfish will and make me wholly thine. For anybody who knows that song, you'll now be going, follow him, yield your life to him. Maybe not. But it is, it's a marvellous song, amazing song. As you go here today, take this with you. Do not be troubled, as it says in the first line of that John's verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. If you know Jesus and make him the first in your lives above all else, are in fellowship with him, then you can say to these verses, believe in God, then believe in me, I do. You are my way. You are the truth, and you are my life. If you can say that today, then the hardships that you face and the chaos you see around you will become faint in the wonder and the glory that only God can provide. Walk with him, lean on him, take comfort that he is at the helm of your life. But one question, if God is not first in our lives, when God has given this gift to be received and given a gift of hope and given a gift of a relationship with him and given of himself as a sacrifice in the form of man, why? Why? Why don't we have him first? Are we really hoping we will cope on our own strength? Are we really putting faith we are here just by chance and that's all we have? If so, the unbeliever has a lot of faith. But the believer owns the heavens and the earth and has God the Creator as their personal friend and Saviour.